Bienvenido, damas y caballeros. Welcome back to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. I am one of your hosts. My name is Daniel. Right next to me today is Andy.
What's going on, man? I'm fucking pissed off, so you guys get your ears clean and listen to my rants today.
Oh, shit, man. Is this PG-13, Andy, or is this rated R?
Triple X star? Rated X, Andy, I think. But no, I know there's kids that listen to this, so I might have to be just rated R.
All right, cool. Well, like I mentioned, this is Freeform Radio. Back together. Noel had to step out today and couldn't join us, but we're going to bring some to you, just me and Andy. Hope you like the double team. I guess it's just a three, twosome,
it's a tag
right?
team, way. It's a tag team. Team, man.
Right.
We ain't team. X-rated yet, man. We don't do that double teaming. That's maybe down the road. That's for a different format.
All right. Maybe that's the next show we develop, you know. Uh-huh. Well, jumping into this week, Andy, man, I see this LeBron issue has got you a little worked up. Is that what you're pissed off about, or what's going on over there? What you mean?
Nah, man. Before we jump into my what's going on in my life and week, I got something that's pending that.
Breaking news, man.
Breaking news in Andy's fucking life. So, hey, Noel, put the fucking news thing in here. But, yeah, man, fuck this, man. Like, work, I don't want to say it's work-related, but I consider myself a problem solver. Well, and, you know, I'd like to, when people come to me looking for help or solutions, I'm more than willing to help. But what offends me more is when you people come and ask you what to do because they're completely stuck, and then you tell them what to do, and they don't do it. I mean, that really, like, fucking pisses me off. And I've dealt with this basically my whole career, as I've worked at many different jobs and positions, even with friends. And that shit just infuriates me that people call you, well, they're fucking like, help me. You tell them what to do. They refuse to do it, and then they do some other shit. And then at the end, it was just, you just got, your time was just wasted. And, that's some bullshit, Manny. I'm fucking, like, livid about that.
Yeah, I mean, first off, this moniker of problem solver, is that self-given that you gave to yourself, or do other people mention that to you?
I do have a certificate that says problem solver.
Okay.
It came from an accredited university online.
All right. You're working on the master's of it, but
maybe,
right now,
yeah. Maybe
right now it's just a BA?
Yeah, once I get my Photoshop skills a little better, I'll have that degree hanging in my office.
Right.
Yeah, man.
But I agree with you, man. There's a lot of workplaces where, you know, people ask you for, hey, I got this and this going on. What do you suggest? And sometimes you give them a suggestion. It's just like, well, if I were you, I would do this and this. And if it's not what the person was expecting to hear, they'll keep interjecting, well, what about this? And then you tell them, well, no, I would still do that. And then they're like, well, what about this? And it's just like, well, dude, do you want to do what you came to me with a problem. I'm trying to give you a solution. If you want to do that, then do it. But don't write under my flag like, oh, well, you know, Danny said that it was cool to do. It sounds like you want to do something and you're just looking for a verification. So that if the shit hits the fan, oh, well, you know, I passed it by Danny and Danny said it was cool.
Well, exactly. There's different levels of when you work, like, you know, there's your people are in charge. There's your day to day people like supervisors. And then there's everybody else. And when I've worked at places where they're like, don't fucking bug me for every little thing. Solve it, which is great.
Right, they're not micromanagers.
Yeah, they're not. You're not being micromanagers. They want to see how you handle certain situations. They want to see you can do it. And then there's people I've worked with, bosses that micromanage you, and I don't mind it because it gives you, a point of direction on what you need to do. And as long as you do what they tell you, you're fine and you're protected and so forth. And there's people who are just like, you know, wide open. They delegate to their bosses, you know, the guys in charge delegate to his managers or whatever, and then they delegate it down, and they're not on top of you. They don't want to know every little detail. They just want to know it got handled. Not necessarily they don't want to know the details. They just want to know that it got handled. And like one of the great one of the greatest presidents ever, Ronald Reagan, I read his book and I read books about him. That was basically his managing style. He hired competent people who knew that there were problem solvers and how to manage stuff, and he just knew if he gave them the task, they were going to go run with it and come to him with maybe some suggestions, but more 9 out of 10 times with some solution or what their idea is, and they give him an overview, and he's cool with it or he's not. To me, I think most successful people are in this country, especially, they're kind of like that. Yes, early on you're more aggressive, but when you start getting moving up or you become bigger and bigger, you have to look for those type of people who are problem solvers. And I consider myself one of that. And if I'm really stumped and I don't know what to do, then yeah, I mean, I'll go to somebody and tell them, I don't know what to do. Can you help me out here? I'll even go to my boss. I've gone to my bosses in the past, but you got to keep them in the loop. To me, I like keeping my bosses in the loop. And I mean, but generally, problem solving is a good thing. It's a fucking job skill. That's a job skill you need to have, because if you're just waiting around to be told, a lot of companies now shit on that, and it's not good. It doesn't make you look good. And, you know, all you millennials and people after millennials, be fucking problem solvers. Don't do this group shit. Be aggressive and be leaders and fucking offer solutions. Don't just be there tweeting saying that this shit sucks.
Right, right. No, I think you're right. I think in the past there were bigger pools of employees and maybe it offered more of a community decision. But now a lot of workforces don't have multiple people doing, you know, one singular job. Sometimes you got to wear multiple hats. And that means that when they give you a task, they expect you to take care of it from start to end. And unless there's an issue, you know, you bring it up to whoever you need to try to get some guidance. Hey, I ran across this roadblock. What would you suggest I do?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Not everybody has the same, but it depends on the culture of your company. But when you're told multiple times you got to be this and you're not, then, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know who does a lot of that group work and group mentality is politicians. And you look at the state of certain states and the country, that's what it gets you. You need somebody to be an executive and make executive decisions. That's why everything works. Same thing in the army. There's a person in charge. There's a soldier, sergeant. It's the same thing. It's just different fucking names. And people who are management supervisors are always looking for the next person who's ready to step up and be that problem solver or offer solutions and be able to handle critiques. But today is just one of those fucking days. I had to get this. I had to vent this to our massive audience out in Freeform Radio Land. Shoot, send us stories, suggestions, or questions on how you deal with this, or what remedies besides a good old fashioned ass whooping, which I don't recommend now because that's shit upon. It's not healthy apparently, but maybe not for millennials and younger. But I mean, us Gen Xers, I think we can handle that somewhat.
Is that where we are, Gen X?
Yeah, we're Gen Xers, Dan. We're old.
Awesome, man, Xers.
So, but let's go moving forward. What else is going on with me is, I don't know, the big thing. I woke up this yesterday. I kind of have issues with LeBron's comments on China and how he tweeted about how this China's impacting his fucking lifestyle and shit. I don't know how much you read of that, Danny, or what do you know about it?
Right. I kind of saw it on a news feed that I kind of surf, and you know, I'm not the biggest LeBron fan, so I kind of just skimmed over it, and I just figured it was him being a prima donna for something. So I didn't really read into it. So what's the deal with him in China?
So there's damn it, I just had this up here. Right now, the Lakers and the Nets are in China. They're going to do this like preseason thing. And an executive, hold on, man. There's an executive for a team that made a comment on Twitter about pro Hong Kong protesters who are protesting how China's slowly taking away their rights. And so there's a big, like, it's like a big no-no that, you know, don't talk about it because you're in China, the NBA is. And he tweeted that he goes, my team in this league just went through a difficult week. I think people need to understand what a tweet or statement can do to others. And I believe nobody stopped or considered what would happen. Could have waited a week to send it. And people went fucking crazy, man, on Twitter. They started bashing him.
And, yeah, isn't he some guy from a video game tournament? Or where was he from?
LeBron?
Was that LeBron that tweeted
that? That was LeBron. That's what he tweeted because the other executive, Morley, he called them. Let me see. What did he say? Vaguely calling Morley an uneducated after GM spoke favorably of pro-democracy protest, earned swift rebukes from progressive online fans and conservative politicians online. So Morley tweeted like, yeah, you know, we got to help, you know, posted like a picture. And LeBron just said back like, we all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and what we say and what we do. Even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, there can be a lot of negative that comes with that, too. This is a guy who fucking, he does a lot of political speeches here in the U.S. Like when he came out for Hillary Clinton. I mean, I'm not getting into Democrat or Republican here, but he has made political statements. He's kind of retracted. He made some comments. He's like, look, I'm not going to talk about this shit again. I'm done with it. And because people came up, they were bashing him, you know? And I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what you guys think about it. Let us know. But I think LeBron does have an impact. He has an impact on urban America. So I think he chose his words negatively, and it kind of sounds like he came out pro communist, and he's shitting on freedom of speech. He's like, just because you have it, just be careful what you say. I mean, it's kind of an interesting twist, and he called the GM uneducated, and he's like having a rough week because after he tweeted, the GM tweeted the picture, the Chinese government started canceling stuff with the NBA, and so they just been sitting at their hotel waiting and stuff like that.
You know, it's funny because when you first started this, bringing this up, I thought you were talking about the Blizzard suspension.
That's another thing too. Same situation. It's just, I think the winner made some pro Hong Kong comments and Blizzard took his money away or something, right?
Right. He was like some winner. I mean, I don't know too much about it because I don't really stay in tune with Hearthstone and these tournaments that they offer. But I guess a player or some guy that won some contest or tournament, he made some Hong Kong. I don't remember if it was pro or negative, but then they took his money away or suspended him banned him from something.
I know he got his money back. So, I mean, but still, it's just like you can't anger China. And I know South Park just went through something with this too. They South Park is banned in China now.
Right, because some episode where they kind of speak negatively on about China.
Yeah, I don't want to get banned in China because we're pretty popular. I think we have a couple listeners then.
Yeah, so we got like at least one or two in there.
Yeah, but no, yeah. There's a you can't be negative on China because financially they do come into a lot of American businesses. But you know this other thing I'm reading that says. Now, LeBron James has called out President Trump for stoking racist sentiments and held a rally with Hillary Clinton during the 2016 presidential race. His comments on China have managed to anger both liberals and conservatives, disappointing progressives who have often cheered his comments on racial justice infused with the president while proving useful on social media fodder for conservatives who were already critics. Let me see here. Someone tweeted, you're right, King James. People need to understand what a tweet or statement can do to others. And then let me see what else. The firestorm over James' comments neatly encapsulates the problem NBA, which generally wants to be seen as a progressive American sports league, has faced with China, has faced with the China crisis. Every news story must mention that the league and its players have billions of dollars in business in China. So that's what it always comes down to is money. I mean, I grew up communism is evil. We fought the Russians. Reagan kicked their ass along with Rocky. So, I mean, people just look at China. I think they just look at it as a country where we build shit. But when it comes down to it, they're communist and communism is evil. They're godless. They don't, you know, they don't have faith in anything. They just believe in the government. They torture people. They have re-education camps, and they're imprisoning like all sorts of people. And they don't like people of faith. They don't like churches there. I mean, it's a huge country with a lot of money, and it's just something you got to consider. I mean, I guess you got to pick your battles, but I mean, when it comes down to it, communism is bad. It's evil, and. China is the biggest player out there, and it's bad, man. I don't know what else to say.
Right. I know they own a bunch of stuff here, even in the States.
Yes, movies. Yeah,
they own banks, news networks. They have huge stakes in a lot of things.
Yeah, they put a lot of money into movies, and Red Dawn, the remake, I don't know if you remember, they made them Chinese when they filmed that movie in Chinese. The backers were a Chinese company, and they're like, we don't want this. So they put the movie on the shelf, and then they went in there and made everybody Korean. Did you know that? In the remake of Red Dawn?
I do recall something like that where they changed a lot of the plot points because they wanted to make it, you know, not so negative as far as China.
So that's my two cents. I'm not trying to go too political heavy. I know maybe that's what you guys want to hear, but I don't know. I mean, LeBron's a good player. I don't watch the NBA as much as I used to. I do watch the Bulls once in a while, but I think when he's talking about freedom, I mean, dumb, wrong, right, you can say whatever the fuck you want to say as long as you don't say fire in a crowded theater because that you will get in trouble. But
nah, Jordan's the GOAT of the NBA, man. No LeBron.
Yeah, man. It's I ain't seen Space Jam 2. Fuck that, man. I ain't fucking gonna go watch that crap. But something I'm trying to watch as much as I can. We're kind of going through. We have our resident UFC expert Noel. He's out this week, but I guess I'm your resident wrestling expert. Then can I be that? Can I have that title too?
Do you have a plaque of that on your wall too?
Well, I can make one, yeah, man.
All right, yeah. So, if you can print it out, you know, sure.
Fuck yeah, I can print it out. I might, but I don't know what college to make it out of yet. I don't know that I gotta think about. That might be a real university, not some online thing.
Maybe it's still real to me. Damn it, college.
So I'm watching a lot of wrestling. Well. Correction. I am trying to catch up with all the wrestling that's going on right now, you know, with with WWE Raw and SmackDown. They just, there were season premieres. They were hyped up. And then with NXT now on USA Network, and then you have AEW on TNT. And even the NWA, Dan, I don't know if you heard this. They have a weekly show now that they're filming out of Atlanta, Georgia, and they're uploading the episodes onto YouTube.
Yeah, there's a bunch of wrestling right now. I mean, even MLW
is
starting to produce a lot of shows. And there's just even the local stuff here in the Chicagoland area, you know. You got that Tommy Dreamer shows and a bunch of other stuff, man, all the time.
Oh, man, one more real quick. Thanks for bringing that up. You know, Tommy Dreamer's company, the House of Glory, he sold that to Master P.
Yeah, I did read that, and he said something like, McMahon, you're next or something.
And he's like, make him say, Remember, right. He was in WCW, so he was in the wrestling business.
Yeah, one of his guys from his posse or whatever you would call him, he was actually a wrestler, and he wrestled for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, he had some, like, group or something. I think Conan was in there for a bit. I don't remember. But it didn't last too long. They were wrestling the Rap is Crap people with the Mr. Perfect or whatever.
Yeah, Kurt Hennig.
Yeah, Kurt Hennig. So let's get back to where we're at. So WWE Raw, I've been watching that. I can't watch the 3 hours. I watched it. I can watch about two. I watched a little bit of the NXT. I know you cut the cord, Danny, so I don't know if you had any opportunity at all to watch NXT.
No. I when I had the network, the WWE network for a minute, I think I had like a free month or two. I watched a couple of them, and it has a cool feel, but I got a feeling that you got to get invested into it, and then maybe it'll grow on you, kind of like ECW with its intimacy in the ring and stuff like that. But no, I didn't have a chance to really get hooked on it.
Yeah, I mean, the NXT does have great wrestling. It doesn't. I mean, they have a couple good characters, but overall, it's all right. I'll try to catch it on the network when I can. The AEW, I watched the first episode and part of the second episode, and I think they're lucky to have Jericho. Jericho is their champ, is great. They are beating NXT in the ratings. They're going head-to-head, and I'm not going to give you a complete break, but the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega, but it's all right. It's a solid show. It's a little, I think the people are just a little bit too into it, the wrestling community, because it's completely different from WWE, and I think, I don't know if they're going to keep up the ratings. They're doing over 1 million+. I know NXT head-to-head already dumped under 1 million, and AEW dumped under, they already went down like 20% from their original week. So it's going to be interesting seeing how if they can keep up those ratings. And then Fox with the SmackDown paying $1 billion for that. I didn't even watch the premiere show. I don't know if you saw it, Dan. I haven't watched any of it. They already fired Bischoff this week and put in Bruce Pritchard. So who knows how that's going to work out.
Right. I did watch the premiere. I didn't get to watch last week's because I think there's only been like 2 weeks of the new SmackDown show, as well as I don't get Raw because that's on cable. But they just introduced a new, like, a set, you know, kind of like rebranding it or like relaunching it. But no, I caught the first SmackDown just because it's on Fox and now it's on, you know, local networks. But it was okay. It was okay. I mean, it was going to be all out, everything, just because it's the first one. So they had The Rock and they had a bunch of, you know, people just coming out, you know, doing some promos and some really light matching.
They paid a lot of money to have those legends to boost those ratings up. So the one I'm making an effort to watch, in which I have not been disappointed and I kind of like it, is the NWA Power on YouTube. It's also on Facebook. I think that one, that's Billy Corgan's company. they're champion of like all this. They have some mix of young wrestlers and up and comers and some legends. And I've watched both episodes. I mean, and it's been pretty fucking solid. They have the old school studio feel. You know, they got the, they're in a TV studio. They cut these great promos. And that's one actually got me hooked. I did see in the last episode, they're going to have a pay-per-view in November. But I really, you guys should really like follow their social thing, like on Twitter and Facebook and their YouTube. They have, they're doing some really great things for independent. I mean, in the way you don't consider independent, but what it is now, it's actually pretty fucking good, and it has a good nostalgic feel to it. So definitely give that a like. And hopefully out of all this wrestling stuff, you know, we get some wrestling games. I know the WWE 21, everybody's shitting on it because it has a lot of glitches. I don't know how much you heard about that, Dan, but maybe for the next gen, the PS5, they can make that better. So what's going on? I know you got here, one of your topics is the PS5. You got a boner for the next PlayStation then?
Yeah, you know, it's a little exciting for PlayStation. As far as a WWE game, I don't know too much about it, but I do see a ton of negative remarks so far. I don't believe it's officially released or the reviews. I haven't seen an official review yet.
I've seen screen captures of people on Twitter saying how horrible it is. I mean, I don't know if it's officially out, but yeah, it's, people are like, they're fucking going bonkers shitting on it.
Right, right. No, I definitely did see a lot of negative articles about it. But yeah, back to the PlayStation 5. Yeah, it was just last week that they officially announced that it's going to be called PlayStation 5, Sony did. And they gave a few, you know, kind of tidbits about it. The biggest news of it was that it's going to release holiday 2020. So I told my wife, I'm like, you know, it looks like next holiday season is going to be an expensive one for me because depending on what the price point is going to be, which wasn't one of the items that they talked about, I might have to start budgeting for the next PlayStation.
Do you think that's going to push like $800 to $1,000? Because the PS4, the initial price point was, wasn't it $600 or $700?
No. The PlayStation 3 had the $600 price point, and that's the one that people flipped out for, because I remember even the president of PlayStation or whatever, he was just like, yeah, people are going to love this system so much that they'll go out and get two jobs and pay for it. And it struggled. The PlayStation 3 struggled for sure, and it was something that took them many years for them to kind of recoup and get back on top. And by the end of the life cycle, they did end up beating Xbox 360. But originally, it was a huge struggle just because of the price point.
Yeah, it came out the gate struggling, if I right. What I can recall.
Right. As far as the PlayStation 4, that launched at $399. And that was $100 even less than the Xbox One came out. So right away, right out of the gate, they undercut the competitors by $100. And I think that kind of led a little bit to their success and how they were able to kind of get in front of the Xbox One and gain a huge user base. And I mean, right now they're leading as far as this generation in sales. But yeah, PlayStation 5, man, it's really exciting. I'm not saying I'm going to get it day one, but it definitely intrigues me. To where if the price point seems interesting and things work out well in the Corral household, definitely be something interesting to maybe pick up.
Did they say if it's going to be a disc based, or are they just completely pushing the streaming or downloading?
Well, I think it's in the next month, the first all streaming consoles coming out, the Stadia, which is Google's entry into the video game market, and it's going to be a streaming console. But as far as PlayStation 5, they've officially announced that it's going to have the Blu-ray 4K Blu-ray player in there, so it's going to be disc-based. But they did mention that in order to stay competitive and have a fast response time from the system, that any disc-based game would have to be downloaded onto the system. And then the disc would basically only be used for like initial upload, and then the game would stream off of your hard drive or something to that effect. I mean, obviously, things are still being kind of worded weird, and, you know, people are trying to decipher these news bulletins. But from what people are able to, read out of it, it looks like a lot of the games are going to come off of your hard drive, and the discs that you buy at the store are only going to really be used for installing the game onto your hard drive.
It sounds complicated, man.
I mean, it's...
It's going to have like a massive fucking hard drive.
Right. I mean, people, they didn't release the specs as far as the size, but they already announced that it is going to be an SSD, a hard drive, which is super fast. I mean, I don't have an SSD on my computer. But Junior, when we bought his PC for his birthday, I did pay a little bit extra to get a small SSD drive put into his computer. And then, a pretty, like a 2 terabyte HDD for everything else. And man, anything that you have installed in that SSD drive, it's super fast. You just click on it and it responds. It launches and you're in it. And it's super fast and super responsive. It's really the tech of the future. And it's like something that if you're an avid gamer, you really need one of those hard drives. And PlayStation 5, at least according to the reports, will have one. We just don't know how big it will be.
Man, that sounds interesting. I don't know, man. I always thought for sure the next PlayStation would be stream only, you know?
Well, I know a lot of gamers, or at least from the trends, more and more articles that I keep reading are to the fact that download games, online purchases for games are becoming more and more, and actually have surpassed, mom and pop, brick and mortar purchases. So it is something, the wave of the future. I didn't suspect it to be this next gen to be all streaming. But if you were to tell me that PlayStation 6 or even PlayStation 7 would be all streaming, I wouldn't be too surprised. But no, PlayStation 5, I kind of assumed that it would still be disc-based. But I think that future is coming for a discless video game system.
Yeah, because they've been talking about that for years, like, and like more and more. Like, I know PlayStation, didn't they just start like a streaming service too or something, like to get access to, like, I don't know, I don't want to call them like legacy games or something, like where you can subscribe and they're going to give you access to each month to like unlimited play games or something.
Right, it's called PlayStation Now, and they just recently reduced the price. They like cut it in half. It used to be like I want to say like $39.99 or $49.99 a month, and it would let you play a lot, if not all, their back catalog, and even play PlayStation 4 games or a handful of them.
Yeah, I saw someone pushing that it had PS4 games on there, and I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, it's like a select handful. It's not the entire catalog of PlayStation 4. Like
launch titles or something, yeah.
Yeah, they had a few launch titles and then a few newer games, but nothing terribly new, like God of War and stuff like that.
Right.
But yeah, they just recently cut the price, and I believe it's $19.99 a month now. So it's very enticing, and I read a lot of promising articles about people subscribing and giving it a shot. The only thing that's an issue is bandwidth, man. Just like we've experienced here on the podcast, I mean, sometimes my internet cuts out, and that's because internet's expensive, man. So I have one of the cheapest bundles that I could find out there, and for video gaming, that's just not enough, man. So I think that's what's gonna be the thing that kind of holds us back, especially in the U.S. because the U.S. has a half decent internet infrastructure, but nothing as close as to what Europe has. Europe has like those T5 lines or whatever. It's like super fast internet, and we're over here stuck with the Ethernets, and that's not even the fastest there is anymore. And that used to be like the top of the line a few years back, but not no more.
Man, we need to create a Patreon page so we can get people to pay for your internet, Danny, so we can keep those game reviews coming because, you know, you do need some quality internet here, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, your internet is probably one of the fastest of the three of us, I think. And I know you pay a pretty penny for that. And yeah, you can get fast internet, but man, you're going to pay an arm and a leg, and you got to be prepared to handle that that Comcast conglomerate and be at their mercy for internet.
I mean, I've had what I got here at the house, the Comcast, and I've had the AT&T. It's night and fucking day, man. And I can't believe the internet I had before at my old house compared to this. It's, I don't know what the hell I was thinking because everything, everything just runs better. And we're not using hardline. I mean, everything's wireless. Back at my old house, I had the computer with the hardwired, you know, with the LAN connector or whatever, and it worked half decent. But once you started using the Wi-Fi, forget about it. This thing, we're streaming stuff on the PS3 or the PS4, and we're on tablets and phones. Everything's on Wi-Fi. It doesn't even skip a beat.
Right, right. No, yeah. A lot of things are wireless now. I mean, my whole house is wireless. I really don't have anything plugged into my modem other than my Apple TV, just because it's next to the modem. Otherwise, everything is connected wirelessly. So, yeah, I think that's what's going to hold off a lot of this, like, diskless, you know, systems, and especially Stadia. I think they're going to have a rough time in markets where, you know, bandwidth is an issue. You know, we're lucky we live in a pretty metropolitan area, but there's a lot of rural areas where they barely have something slightly better than dial-up, dude. How are those people going to play these, you know, streaming devices? They just can't, man. They their infrastructure doesn't allow them.
And then it's not, the pricing is not going to be, I mean, I'm not saying we got great pricing, but I mean, imagine out there, and what they do offer is going to be nothing like what we have here in the bigger cities. And I mean, I could understand that. I mean, when I visited family in other states and they lived in a rural area, their internet fucking sucks. Even their cell phone coverage sucks, and they have towers nearby, you know?
No, yeah, definitely. It's something to be interesting in the future here for PlayStation 5. I'm excited. I'm a PlayStation fan, so excited for the new shiny thing that's going to come out, and we'll see if I pick one up day one, but definitely something to plan forward. Gives me a whole year to look forward to.
That's what I wanted to ask you for sure. When will you know if it's a day one purchase, or you still got to see more specs and more shit on it?
I mean, I'm assuming that I'm going to stick with PlayStation regardless of the specs. The only question is it going to entice me enough, and is the budget going to allow, and is my wife going to allow me to pick up the next one come holiday 2020, so I'm gonna have to start working.
I wonder if they're gonna have shortages like for the 4.
Yeah, maybe. It was something that it took me a minute, but I ended up finding a PlayStation 4 pretty close to launch. But we'll have to see. Holiday 2020 is a little far away, so it definitely gives me some time for planning.
You got a year plus, Danny.
Right. The other thing I was up to, Andy, is we went apple picking, or more accurate pumpkin picking. Well, I guess not even actually that. We didn't really pick anything. We just went to the store that they offered and just picked them there.
You bought some apples, and you're like, we called it apple picking.
Right. We just went to the apple orchard a few days ago, and you know, they had the wagons and everything to go pick the apples straight off the tree, but you know, it was kind of on the chilly side, so we decided to just go into the store and grab a bundle of apples, and then the rest of the day kind of cruise around and do the activities that they had available. But yeah, spend up our Sunday afternoon at the apple orchard and missed the Bears game to go out apple picking.
Was it worth it, Danny, to miss the Bears game?
Well, it was the Raiders game, which was it was kind of difficult. Yeah, it was kind of difficult to watch. I was watching a little bit on my phone, and it was a little disheartening. So it made me definitely pay attention more to the apple picking part of it, just because I couldn't watch my phone and see the Bears struggling against the Raiders.
Did they have a maze?
Yeah, they had a corn maze. I didn't get to do it this year, just because it's a huge place, the one we go to. And it definitely, if you want to do every activity, you're going to be there for a few hours for sure. So we started off on one side, and when we curled around to where the corn maze started, my parents were a little hungry, and so was my wife. So then we decided to just book it to the cafeteria, or that little barn that they offer food. And so we went to eat, and we never kind of really made it back around to where the corn maze was located. So skipped out this year, but we did it a few years ago, and it's pretty sweet. I did hear some negative marks of it, because my brother did end up going. It was like a whole family thing, this apple picking thing. And they said it was very muddy because it had rained quite a bit a couple days before that. So they said it was pretty muddy, and it was definitely something that I didn't miss, just because everybody was full of mud.
Man, it's a fucking farm, man. I'd just be glad you guys didn't step into like pig or cow shit or something.
Right. I mean, I kind of knew, man. To be honest, my son was getting dressed for it, and he was thinking he was going to wear slippers, you know, or not slippers, but sandals. And my wife was kind of wearing, you know, some, you know, somewhat nice shoes too. And I'm like, look, guys, it rained yesterday, and it's been raining like on and off these last like 3 or 4 days. I wouldn't be surprised if it's really muddy. I mean, it's a farm. It's all on grass. There's not like paved walkways or nothing. This is a farm.
Right.
You know, I was going to wear my Timberlands, but then I was just like, man, I don't want to get these too dirty and get them all jacked up. So I just took some like old pair of gym shoes that I had that I didn't care if they were going to get a little muddy or dirty. And, you know, my wife ended up putting some, you know, like walking shoes too. And then my son did too. And yeah, man, it was fine. You know, we got a little muddy, but it wasn't terribly, you know, bad. But you saw people with like high heels struggling, man, walking through that grass. And I'm just like,
good when you're picking apples then.
Man, there was tons of people trying to look good, but they look ridiculous trying to walk through the mud and walk through the you know, soaking wet grass. And people were struggling for sure.
You're like, hey, man, we came here to work, not to take pictures. We're here to pick some goddamn apples.
And there was a lot of people, even without jackets. Like I mentioned, it was kind of on the cooler side. So I had my hoodie and my Scully on, and then I had another like light jacket in the car just in case things got really bad. And I was fine. No, I wasn't cold, but, you know, it wasn't warm enough for me to be like, ah, let me take this hoodie off. But there was people, T-shirts, shorts. There was, you know, women with like, you know, blouses just walking around, you know. I was just like, I don't get it, man. I'm like, you know, I like to stay, you know, relatively, you know, nice in a nice hoodie. But, man, these people were like, I got to look good first, pick apples second. And I was just like, man, this is weird.
So did you I'm assuming you wore some boots, and then you didn't do no apple picking. Did you guys go looking for like a pumpkin, or you guys didn't do that either?
Well, this apple orchard has pumpkin picking on one side and apple picking on the other side.
Ah, okay.
It's divided by like a road that you drive up to. And every guest or every ticket that you buy, you get a free pumpkin. So we came home with 3 pumpkins. But since we had done some activities and my parents were kind of tired, they're like, yeah, we're going to wander over here. We'll catch up with you guys later. I'm like, okay. So me and Alana and Junior just kept doing the activities, and you know, it was like a basketball thing, a football thing, a strongman thing where you had to hit the hammer on the bell to kind of ring it to the top, and yeah, just a bunch of stuff for kids. And when I finally met up with my parents again, they had brought like 7 pumpkins, man. It was like some ridiculous amount. And I'm like, Dad, you know, we could only take 1 per person. He's like, yeah, so you can get a pick. Which one do you want? You want this one or this one? I'm like, well, what are you gonna do with all these other ones? I'm just going to leave them there on the side. And I'm like, what possessed you to bring so many, man? I'm like, I didn't want to shit on him because I'm like, you know, he's having fun too. But I'm just thinking in the back of my head, I'm just like, damn, Dad, you had to overdo it, man. Just grab the few that we needed and that's it. And even that, I was kind of not looking forward to it, but, you know, let's go look for a pumpkin. No, not that one. No, not that one. Let me get this one. And then this one's mine because I picked it. But I didn't want to shit on my parents' parade, so I just grabbed one of the ones that they brought.
So did you, are you going to make a jack-o'-lantern, and then are you going to make, you going to bake the pumpkin seeds?
Yeah, Alana and Junior usually do that. I'm not a big pumpkin fan myself. I don't really like pumpkin pies or none of that. I'll eat the pumpkin seeds. Alana will wash them off and kind of toast them in the oven.
Right.
But other than that, I'm not a really big pumpkin fan, so it's more Alana and Junior's thing. But yeah, man, it was a good time. Good time with the family. My brothers came out, the kids. They all kind of ran around and goofed around for a few hours. So it was definitely something cool to do with the family. Definitely something to maybe do next year as well, because I think everybody, for the most part, enjoyed themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to I haven't gone in the last years, but me and the missus have gone. We've taken, you know, nieces and nephews. It is a good time, especially getting like the food, the apple cider donuts, apple juice, going a little crazy, carving out, and just going, be done the apple picking. You walk out to the apple orchard and grab a fucking apple and just yank it out, wipe it away your shirt, and just start eating it from there. I mean, I don't even buy the basket. Or once in a while, I mean, I think the last time we did it, because I had my fill of apples while walking up and down the orchard,
right,
and called it a day.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a good time. Something that my family enjoys, going out there and getting apples and just enjoying some of the country weather and country atmosphere. So it was definitely something good to see, getting away from the day-to-day here from working. But Andy, I think it's that time of day, man. It's time to get into the article of the week. So, Andy, this week's article is a pretty high-tech one, kind of opposite from apple picking here. It's about a robot that can make 300 pizzas in an hour. I mean, that's a lot of damn pizzas. I don't know who's calling Pizza Hut ordering 300 pizzas, but if they did, this robot would be able to make it in an hour. I don't know, delivery would probably take another hour, but making them, it looks like this guy can do them in an hour for 300 of them. So, Andy, tell me your initial thoughts, man, when you read this thing, man. Did you find it fascinating, or did you think, man, this pizza is going to be disgusting?
Well, first of all, the quality of the pizza is probably going to be, it's like all automated crap. There's no love to it. You know how some food, you need to make love to it to make it taste better. But one of the reasons this article intrigues me, I'm like fascinated with
pizza.
With pizza, yeah, you know, and it still needs help from a human. I initially, you got to look at it. This is just like initial.
Yeah, it says assisted, you know.
Because it says, while the pizza bot does its share of the work, dough preparation, sauce making, and baking are all done by non-robots, also known as humans. And this thing can crank out pizzas. It can make 300 12-inch pizzas per hour, or if you need 18-inch pizzas, it makes 180.
Yeah, its production goes down, man. That's really disheartening.
It sounds like this pizza bot's in the union or something. But, you know, this article intrigues me because I am I'm kind of fascinated by, you know, kind of like South Park. They took your jabs here. And it kind of always creeps me out how much American jobs and jobs in general are automated and taken by robots. And this thing could crank out a lot of fucking pizzas. But, you know, it just goes to show you where we're going in this country. And this is not even manufacturing, making pizzas. This is at a restaurant. And, you know, we're getting less and less human contact. And even with kiosks where you go order your food, at fast food places and so forth. So I mean, when it comes down to it, it's cranking out pizzas, but it's taking a job from somebody, a human being. And even, yeah, it's kind of cool that it could do it. Just this is just now. Imagine like in 5 years what this fucking pizza bot's gonna be able to do. It's gonna be twirling it up in the air, and they're gonna write some program so I could fucking make it with love or something. And I mean, this is just the entry level of what this thing can do, of what this company is gonna be able to crank out, you know, with regarding who people who made the robot. I mean, we got robot police officers now. That, you know, tell you to go fuck off. Remember, we talked about an article about that personally between me, you, and Danny. There's automated truck drivers are coming soon, and it's kind of, to be honest with you, I'm kind of scared about it, you know?
Right. I didn't read in the article that this robot is actually at the Seattle Mariners T-Mobile ballpark. Yeah. That's where they have it and they're using it. So it is kind of crazy that, you know, a big company like that, you know, a baseball park has this robot. And actually, in looking into a little research as far as this article, I mean, this isn't the first one. There's a company in California called Zoom's Pizza, and they also have a robot that makes pizzas. It is assisted as well. You know, there are some things that the humans have to do. This robot can't do it by himself.
Lazy fucking robot takes all the credit.
Right.
He do all the hard work, and then he's like, I baked it for you.
But yeah, I saw like a quick video, and it does a lot of the things are automated, you know, putting the sauce and the cheese and all that good stuff. So it's pretty trippy, man. And it's kind of crazy. I mean, in doing research, I found that Pizza Hut and Toyota teamed up and made a self-driving pizza delivery vehicle.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Domino's. There's actually a video of it I saw on YouTube where the car comes. It's a self-driving car, and it delivers your pizza. It pages you or texts you like, hey, your pizza outside. The thing opens up. They ask you for a PIN. It's kind of fucking creepy, to be honest with you.
Right. Yeah, I was going to mention that, too. I didn't notice that Domino's one. And that one, it actually makes the pizza while it's driving. So it cuts down on delivery time, because as soon as you place the order, they, ship off this car to start driving to your house. And while it's driving, it's baking the pizza and making it. And so when it gets to the house, like you said, you open this compartment and there's your pizza. It's cooked and it's ready to go.
Again, man, they took your jobs here. I mean, it's just about thinking about that, how much jobs are getting automated and with AI. I know we had a great episode about AI. Noel has his thoughts on it. But one of the people that kind of brought this to my attention is a presidential candidate, Mr. Yang, says that think about this. He thinks all our jobs are going to get automated and we're all going to lose our jobs. He believes that automation and advanced artificial intelligence will soon make millions of jobs obsolete. Yours, mine, those of our accountants, radiologists, and grocery store cashiers. He says America needs to take radical steps to prevent a Great Depression level of unemployment and total societal meltdown, including handing out trillions of dollars of cash. This guy wants to give you $1,000 a month because, our jobs are going away. He goes on to say, all you need is self-driving cars to destabilize society. He goes, in the first interview about his campaign, in just a few years, he said, we're going to have a million truck drivers out of work who are 94% male with the average level of education of high school or 1 year of college. He goes, that's one innovation. Will it be enough to create riots on the street? And what do we do about the same thing for retail workers, call centers workers, fast food workers, insurance companies, and accounting firms? And I looked into this. I believe Amazon's kind of taking the lead on this. They and some people in Silicon Valley, they are able to have, big trucks drive on their own. They can get on a highway and drive. All they can't really figure out yet is they don't know how to, pull into docks. And what they're planning to do is they're going to have them pull in, what I've read so far, pull into like these big warehouses, and from there the final leg of the delivery, if it's in a major city, is just have a truck driver drive for like an hour and be done with it.
Right.
Because they're still having problems going into major cities because it's a lot of shit they got to figure out. But in long stretches of highway, they got that down to a science. I think they're like at 95 or 96%. They said once they get it to 98%, they can really start pushing this out to logistics companies.
Yeah, I did read something about that where they might start off going from just major highway to major highway. And then somebody there, a human, would pick up the load and take it the rest of the route, just because, like you said, it is challenging. And speaking of that, man, I had seen something on Joe Rogan's website, I think, or one of his podcasts, where they were talking about, you know, when you do that security thing, when you sign on to some website sometimes and you'll see click on all the sidewalks, and you have to click on the sidewalks, and then it's a way for you to verify that you're not a robot. Well, that these companies that collect that data, they actually sell them. I don't know if I brought this up on the podcast before, but they sell that data to these robot companies or to these programming companies, and it helps for them to make cars more intelligent, to be able to decipher a sidewalk from a pedestrian, to be able to, you know, develop, you know, what's a street light versus what's a fire hydrant. So all of this is helping this future, like you're talking about.
The Skynet future to take over, to kill us.
Yeah, man. It is kind of crazy. You know, before we get too far away from the pizza robots, I did find, I was looking all over and I couldn't really find one for the article as far as what it's cost. But I did find what the Zuma Pizza, the California-based company, what their robot cost them, and it was $375 million.
Holy shit.
To buy or to develop this robot. They're hoping that a lot of their initial upfront costs is something that will help them spread their chains all over. So they're like, this is like an initial cost to kind of get the company and this technology up and running. But they're hoping that the more and more their chains spread from the West Coast, you know, over to other areas in the United States, they're hoping to recoup a lot of this initial backing. But yeah, man, it was a huge ticket for paying for this robot, but, man.
Like, think about it, where the need might be, where something similar like 300. I mean, can they even sell 300 fucking pizzas in an hour? I mean, hey, but if they could do that, I mean, they're gonna lower cost over time on other shit, and they just crank them out. I mean, it's just it's interesting. Like I said, this is just like entry level shit here. Like, you imagine if they really put some effort. I mean, I'm pretty sure you put some effort, this thing is gonna be able to do everything and not need any human assistance. The only human assistance is gonna need is like when a shit breaks down. Hopefully, it's not built like those soft serve ice cream things like at McDonald's that are always fucking breaking. Those things are always broke. Imagine you put some AI on that fucking thing and maybe it could repair itself.
But yeah, it is scary for unfortunately lower educated, you know, people, you know, or people with low skill sets. A lot of these entry level positions at companies are being consumed by robots. Pretty soon you're going to hear robots can pick and pack boxes for you, and you don't even need a shipping department. And it's like nuts.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm waiting for that day. But imagine when you're going to start seeing videos of people fighting with these robots and they start fighting back. What are we going to do then, man? We have to pull that. We have to take that robot and kick its ass on the street, man.
I did see like a spoof video, and I think we talked about this, Andy, where there's like a what college is that? IT or
MIT?
MIT. They're building like a robot that's able to traverse, you know, like obstacle courses. You know, so they put like these obstacles in its way, and the robot's able to traverse and try to like balance this box. And so while the robot's trying to do this and do its programming to try to keep its balance, people are throwing shit at this robot. They're hitting it.
It's being stored somewhere, man. Fucking robot's right. Never going to forget.
I'm telling you, dude. When the shit goes down, the robots are going to be like, yeah, you see how you used to treat us? All right, man. Now it's our turn. It's going to get crazy, man.
It's going to be some Matrix shit, man, because they're never going to forget, man. It's just, like I said, I know Noelle welcomes this stuff. I don't, because the sacrifice human beings are going to make financially and emotionally, it's going to suck, dude, because we're the ones that are going to be just sitting at home not doing shit, and who knows what's going to happen, man. When you got all this, maybe one day it'll be some Star Trek shit where everything's free, right? We don't worry about money. Is that where we're heading then? Who knows all this AI shit?
If it gets to that, then yeah, we don't got to worry about anything. But weren't you telling me too that there was two different robots and they started talking to each other in their own language?
Now, I don't know how true it is. I did talk about this in the past podcast. So I believe Facebook, I seen like all these memes and like these, like, I don't want to call them clickbait thing. I never really searched it, but they created some AI, Facebook did, and the AI created its own language. It can network to some other thing, another AI, and then they started they created a language in between them, and the Facebook people were like, man, we don't know what the fuck they're talking about, so they just shut everything down because it spooked them. And so that freaked them out. Maybe I'll look it up for one of the articles done in a future episode to see how true this is. And they're like, it spooked them. And they're like, we don't know what to do. So they just powered that fucker down. Imagine they built some backdoor thing and it starts overtaking everything with all the information that is on the, you know, on the Facebook servers and all that shit.
Right. Yeah, man.
And you know, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, that is spooky, man. That's crazy.
And on Joe Rogan's podcast, when Elon Musk was on, you know, one of the most watched episodes of Joe Rogan, he did talk about artificial intelligence is the greatest threat to humanity, because it's something we could create, and if it starts doing its own thing, we're not going to be able, we let it grow out of control, it's going to overtake us, and we're not going to be able to deal with it, you know? And I mean, that's something to think about. That's why when I see some people welcome this, I don't. I think humans sometimes they're too smart for their own good. But we need to. I think we just need to slow things down every once in a while.
You know, this is probably a whole different podcast on its own. But have you ever wondered why technology has advanced so great that now your cell phone's more powerful than the computers that send rockets to the moon, you know, NASA. But now NASA can't send anything to the moon. They can't send anything. Their technology doesn't allow them, or the cost for it doesn't allow them. You would think things would have progressed rapidly the same way, you know, cell phones and computers have, that they would be able to send something to the moon like relatively easy without too much of an issue.
Well, you're heading down the rabbit hole on this one, Danny. I've thought about that, and that's because if you really search, there's a secret space program out there. Oh. And there's a breakaway society. Just search those terms on the Google Time Machine there, and all this shit's gonna pop up. That's because we've already have technology that surpassed anything we have, and everything that gets allowed out to public, to the mass people, it's already shit that's old to them. And they have, like, remember when drones first came out, and you know, we were like, what the fuck, drones? And then you see these massive fucking drones that are out, and you're like, god damn, somebody's controlling that from some fucking Air Force base in Nevada. Like, this is crazy. Or when I remember hearing about the black helicopters on Mancow, and I'm like, this fucking guy's crazy. About hovering, you couldn't hear him or anything.
Right.
Well, look what, when they went to kill Bin Laden, what they shot down was one of those fucking helicopters that didn't exist, and you couldn't see it on radar, you couldn't hear anything. and they tried blowing up and you saw pieces of it and you're like, what the fuck is this? Like, they denied it ever existed. And there it is. They blew one up and it fucking existed. And who knows how long it has existed.
Right.
Had stealth technology. People said they couldn't hear the helicopters come in. All they know is they heard the explosion and shit's out. People are all dead. And then you saw it. I'm like, I've never seen a helicopter ever like this.
So who's suppressing it, Andy? Is it the Reptile Mans or the Gray Men or who's
I don't know, man. That was the government, man. It's the government. They have technology that's way... The internet we have is nothing compared to what the fuck they got, so...
You think their internet's faster than mine?
Fuck yeah, it's way faster. They don't got that cheap one, man. They probably have T5. Where did I get T1 billion, man? Man, they got like satellites.
They're taking our jobs, man.
So they probably got some badass robots telling them what to do.
All right.
So speaking of what we got to do is we got to get out of here, guys. So we want to thank you for listening. Remember, you can follow us. You can follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Also, send your questions, suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Let us know what you guys think. If it's Breakaway Society, the Secret Space Program. We're trying to be a little coast to coast here, but let us know what you guys think, and let us know what you think about this pizza, about automation, Mr. Wang and his freedom dividend where you get a check every month, whatever, LeBron. Send us out. We want to know what the fuck y'all guys are thinking. Don't forget to check out our webpage, Freeform Network. Damn, I fucked that up. Freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you see all our links for Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, Spreaker, Stitcher. We're on Spotify, Danny? Yes?
Yeah, that sounds
right. We're on the Google one. We're on iTunes. We're on YouTube. Anyway, go to the website. You see it all. You can put a podcast on it. We're fucking on there. And, you know, hit that like, subscribe, give us a review, shit on us, whatever. Whatever, you just give us a review. We'll like it. Hopefully a nice one. But Freeform Radio, we got Danny.
Billie Jean's not my lover. She's just a girl. Oh, Andy, you made me mess it up. But yeah, guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
And then I got Andy here. I'm a fucking problem solver. I have a plaque to prove it. And thanks for listening, guys. We'll check you out next time.
That was cool, Dad.